This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's Easter message, entitled What Great Lengths, was delivered on April 12, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen, amen. Well, we do have some technical difficulties once in a while, and you know, we do our very, very best to work through it. So thank you so much for sticking with us, church family. Man, I really miss you all. I wish I could give you a big hug. You know, happy Resurrection Sunday. He is risen from the grave, and that's why we celebrate this day. We call it Easter. Some of us call it Resurrection Sunday. Call it what it is, but God, Jesus Christ, has risen from the grave. And the Bible says that God is love. But what lengths would you think God would go through to show his love for you? People say, I love you. But do they really mean it? You know, when I got married back in 1991, Christy made a vow to God and to me to love me. And although the first 9 years of our marriage was rough due to my bad habits and my bad behavior, she kept her vow. She loved me even when it was difficult. She stuck by my side. She prayed for me. Even if she didn't agree with all the terrible bad habits I had, she stuck it out, not knowing what would come. She just loved me so much that I too came to know Jesus. What lengths would you go through for someone you love? How would you back up the words, I love you? What kind of action would you take? Let me start here. Since the fall of mankind back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit that they were forbidden to eat, the one that God said, if you eat of it, you will die. And because God is God, and he is a just God, he is fair, does not change his mind or his laws. The question is, what does it mean that God is just? When we say that God is just, we mean that he is perfectly righteous in his treatment of his creatures. God will not show any partiality. He perfectly executes vengeance against oppressors. God is just in dispensing out rewards. God is not unjust, and he will not forget your work. He is equally just in dispensing out punishment. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. There is no favoritism. When Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis 3, justice could not be overlooked. God made Adam and Eve for his own purpose and pleasure. He showered blessings on them, but he also gave them free will. He showed them their options and told them their consequences. He commanded them, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. But because he gave Adam and Eve free will, they did as they pleased. And that moment that Adam and Eve took from that forbidden fruit and ate, they committed sin against the Creator, and death entered this world. Justice now demanded action. And for God to overlook or excuse the sin would not be just. Because God is just, He cannot make a rule and establish the penalty and then not follow through when the rule is broken. Because God is also love, He had a way to satisfy justice without destroying human beings. Justice required the death penalty for their disobedience. So something or someone had to die. A substitute was brought in to satisfy the demands of justice. So back in the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice animals to cover sin. But it was only a temporary thing. Thousands of years later, justice was satisfied once and for all as God sent His own Son into the world to be our substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. It's talking about Jesus. So that we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God in Him. God cannot merely overlook our sin and disobedience against Him, or He would not be perfectly just. He cannot retract His love despite our rebellion, or He would not be perfect love. So Jesus became the Lamb that God sacrificed on the altar of justice. Christ died for sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God. That's called reconciliation. Because justice has been satisfied, God pronounces us now not guilty upon all those who are in Christ, those who call on His name. Justice now insists that once a sin has been paid for, it cannot be brought up again. When our sins are under the blood of His sacrifice, God holds them against us no more. God remains just. He is not violating His own code of justice by pardoning those who deserve its consequences. Salvation is a just consequence because God pronounced Jesus' death and resurrection sufficient to satisfy His wrath. The curse of the law that we justly deserve has been taken by Jesus on the cross. God is just, and His justice is a very important part of His character. In the same way that His love and mercy are important, without justice, sin would run unchecked and evil would win. There would be no reward for obedience. And we could not respect a God who is not just. Micah summarizes the top three qualities God wants to see reflected in you and I. In Micah 6:8, He says this, He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And Israel responded to God's request, trying to appease Him with sacrifices, hoping He would then leave them alone. But sacrifices and other religious rituals aren't enough. God wants changed life. He wants people to be fair, just, merciful, and humble. Here's the point to all this. God had such a great love for us that He provided a way for us to reconnect to God so that we can live and that was through Jesus Christ. John 1:29 said, the next day he saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Every morning and evening, a lamb was sacrificed in the temple for the sins of the people. Isaiah 53:7 prophesied that the Messiah, God's servant, would be led to the slaughter like a lamb to pay the penalty for our sin. A life had to be given, and God chose to provide the sacrifice himself. The sins of the world were removed when Jesus died as the perfect sacrifice. This is the way our sins are forgiven. The sin of the world means everyone's sin. The sin of each individual. Jesus paid the price for your sin by his death. And you can receive forgiveness by confessing your sins to him and asking for forgiveness. Now here's one of the questions I want to ask. What lengths would you go through for love? Like my wife, she went through 8-9 years of suffering because of my behavior. I mean, that's a long time for love. And she endured that. John 15:13, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. The Easter message, who do you love enough to share it with? What lengths would you go through to share the message of hope in Jesus Christ? How far and how bold would you be with those you love? What lengths would you go through for love? Romans 5:7-8. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare to even die. In verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated, he showed his love for you and I by going to the cross to die for you and I, for our sins, so that we could brought back to have a right relationship with God. What length would you go through for love? Number 2, how can I understand how much God loves me? You know, God's love is so great, it's very hard to comprehend. If I ever got what I deserve, I probably wouldn't be here, but God gives us grace. He loves us that much. Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ. We have been saved by grace, by his love. He died for you, for me. How many of you can say that someone died so that you could live? Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul says that God's love is complete. It stretches to every part of our experience. It's wide from the east to the west. It's high from north to the south, up to the heavens. It's deep and reaches past the depth of discouragement and despair. On this morning, thousands of years ago, I'm going to read from Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, which was Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go, take word to my brethren, leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." This Easter, who do you need to tell that Christ is risen, that eternal life is theirs for the asking? That is why, as Christians, we make such a big deal about Easter. Because if there was no birth in that we celebrate Christmas, and there was no crucifixion and resurrection, all of our gathering would be for nothing. But Jesus rose from the grave. He paid the price for your sin, for my sin, the one and final sacrifice, so that you and I can have this relationship with Jesus Christ. There's questions that you can ask yourself this Easter. Do I really understand how much God loves me? And this is a difficult question, because God's love is so great. It's really, I think, only by the Holy Spirit we can understand how much he loves you. And number two, what lengths could I go through to show my love for God and others? I mean, how far would you go to take the gospel to your neighbors, to your family, to your mother, your father, your brother, your sister? Or are you going to let shyness stand in your way? I hope love would conquer that shyness and give you boldness to take this good news into all the world, to the corners of the earth. This is a great day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a day that we not take lightly. It's a day that we celebrate, we rejoice, hallelujah, we sing praises. Most of all, we thank God for sending Jesus to redeem us. And with that saying, I'm gonna ask if any of you out there in the reaches of this video would want to ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me this prayer, asking Jesus to be your Savior. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you know, I would like to send you this booklet as a gift. And for that, you would have to get me your mailing address. And you can send me your mailing address via our email at newhopeeasthawaii@hotmail.com. New Hope East Hawaii, all spelled out lowercase, at hotmail.com. And if you did receive Jesus, the Bible says that all heaven rejoices and we celebrate with you. And as we close our service this morning, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. For those of you who consider New Hope East Hawaii your home church, you may either mail your offering in to us. Our address is on our website at newhopeeasthawaii.com. Or you can give by texting NHHI to 808-793-5588. Okay, that's 808-793-5588 by texting NHHI. And you should get an immediate response and just follow the prompts. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that even though we are apart, we still get to support your kingdom, give to your churches. Lord, I ask that you would bless the tithes and the offerings, that we would continue to further your kingdom through the websites and through Facebook and whatever media that you present that we can use. So Lord, we thank you so much that this day we celebrate Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. And now because of that, we have hope of a future with you in heaven. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday, family. And one day when this ban is lifted, let's have a big celebration with food, fellowship, and music. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday and have a terrific.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii typically meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. During the quarantine, we are meeting online using Facebook Live. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.